Today I want to show you a family heirloom, a family keepsake that we have. Would you like to see it? This is a special one that, and its leg is off right now. It keeps falling off. But it's a Santa that's, you aren't very close to it, but it's actually a toilet paper roll that has felt on it. And I designed this for Jenny during our first couple of years of marriage during Christmas. I was helping out with some kids at a church, and that was our craft that night. And it's pretty neat. You may be laughing at me or making fun of me, but my kids like it well. And they want to do their own, don't you guys? They think their dad's pretty good at that. Do you have any family keepsakes? Is there anything that you guys keep around to maybe remember people? Christmas is a time when we pull out the old heirlooms, the keepsakes, and we remember. Maybe there's some special items that you have that remind you of people or memories. As this one reminds us of our first couple years of marriage, the early days. But you look back, and Christmas is a time when we remember. And today we're going to be looking at the Christmas story with hope. Hope for making some memories this Christmas season. So if you want to read with me, we're in Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Now, Frank and Ruth May, who are part of this church, they have family coming in from Seattle to Indianapolis. And almost everybody who makes that trip flies, and their family is doing the same. But if you were to make that drive from Indianapolis to Seattle, that would be about a four-hour trip or so. Nazareth to Bethlehem was not really close either. The trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem was approximately a four-day trip by walking. It took a while. So some scholars say 5 days, 4 days, and we don't know. We can kind of guess the route that they took. But what we do know is that it was a few days, and Mary was quite pregnant, and she would have been very tired. And if you imagine what that would be like, because if you took the car with nice roads and you drove from Indianapolis to Seattle and kind of stayed over at different places, imagine how tired you would feel after that road trip. Imagine the tiredness that Mary felt and Joseph felt after walking or maybe riding. We don't know how, if Mary rode a donkey or whatever, but it was a four-day trip, and they didn't have the comfortable roads that we did. They didn't have nice rest stops or exits with a McDonald's or a hotel. They had rough roads that were a lot more treacherous. They were dangerous. And at the end of this trip, I imagine Mary would have been tired. This is, when I think back to when Jenny and I had our firstborn, Vila. Jenny was pregnant during that Christmas, Christmas 2005, and she was due January the 4th, so we were hoping, we knew it could be any time. But I remember my prayer and my hope for our story of Vila's birth was that it be very boring. That's what I just wanted it to be so boring. I wanted the story to be, Jenny felt some labor pains, we go to the hospital, Jenny has a baby, the end. No drama, no frills, just boring. That's what I hoped. And I know maybe some of you women are angry with me, that's not boring, that's horrible, it's painful. But you know what I mean. No conflict, no drama, everything goes as planned. And fortunately for us, that's mostly how that story went. It went as planned. Everything kind of turned out as we hoped. There wasn't a lot of drama. I didn't want anything like breach or emergency C-section or road problems with the roads, anything that would create drama. Unfortunately, we didn't have that. It was pretty boring. Mary didn't have that luxury. Mary's plans were interrupted. There was the government had dictated that they leave the comforts of home and make a long trip to stand in a crowded city, crowded town with probably long lines. We know there was no room for them in the inn, so that kind of indicates that the businesses, the places would have been packed. So long lines, not ideal. Mary was probably away from her family. She was going because of Joseph's family went to Bethlehem to register. And we don't know how well she knew Joseph. They had been betrothed, but who knows how comfortable she was, but she may have been away from family. She'd had a long trip, and here she was, and she gave birth into a town that was not her hometown. She gave birth to her firstborn there. So let's go back to Luke here. Luke writes, this is after baby was born. The shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Now, like we have these nativity scenes and stories that are romanticized about what this story was like. All that I've seen about shepherds was that probably these shepherds were a word that I get quite a bit when I'm guessing what they were like was uncouth. They were maybe dirty. They were people who worked the night shift. They were maybe rough around the edges. They probably didn't smell real good. But here we have, and think about Mary. Mary is giving birth to her firstborn. Her family is probably not with her. Her mom's not there with her like she hoped, or maybe she had sisters. They're probably not around. But instead of having family and the familiar comforts of home, she's got shepherds. And they were, good chance they were questionable characters. You know what I mean? I was thinking about what these guys would be like. And you know, when you let people see your baby, usually you want to feel kind of good about them. There's some people that the alarm bells are maybe going off, like, I don't really want you to be with this baby. I thought back to a time when my brother was really young. I'm 5.5 years older than my brother, and my grandparents took us to my grandpa's hometown. And we showed my brother, I think, to his parents. And then right across the street from his parents, there were some relatives, and they were kind of the distant, eccentric relatives, you know what I mean? Like the crazy uncle kind of relatives. Yeah, I've got them too, just like you do, and you may be one of them. But I remember we went across the street, and this lady, and you know, the alarm bells were just going off for little 5-year-old Daniel, and she says to my grandparents, we're at their front door, and she's like, can I take this baby in and let my husband see them? Well, I had seen him once or twice, and I knew I didn't want my brother seeing this guy. So I just said, no. I remember I spoke out. I said, no, my brother's going to stay out here with me. You guys know those kind of people, too. It's not just me that's related to crazy people. I know. I can see it. So you know, imagine that. So these are probably some crazy, eccentric, maybe we'd say weird people. And here they do. What are these guys wanting to do seeing a baby? And here Mary is, probably instead of her mom enjoying it and her family, it's these weird guys who have come in to see the baby. Can you imagine Mary's different emotions that she felt during this time? I mean, think about the expectations that she had. Think about how she felt. Maybe she was missing people from home. All the ways that it didn't turn out. It wasn't near as boring as what she hoped for. All these things that happen. I want to just take a step back here and think about this story, how it was written. This story was written by a guy named Luke. Now, we have the four Gospels. Matthew is one of Jesus' disciples. Mark, not a disciple of Jesus, but a lot of people think he was close to a guy named Paul, who wrote a lot of the books of the New Testament. Luke, who again, he wasn't a disciple of Jesus either, but he came in later and he was a companion of Paul. And then John, who was also a disciple of Jesus. So we don't think that Luke was on the scene when Jesus was on earth, that he came to faith in Christ after Jesus died and resurrected. But a lot of people think that one of Luke's biggest sources for writing his book was Jesus's mom. And it makes sense if you look at it. We've got details of Mary that maybe nobody else would know, because only two of the gospel writers, Matthew and Luke, talk about the Christmas story. And Luke's is from Mary's perspective. So let's imagine maybe that this theory is right and that Luke actually is talking to Mary and asking Mary. Wouldn't you love to have that opportunity? Mary, what was it like? What was it like when you gave birth? Tell the birth story of Jesus. And then Mary can give these details. Wonder what it was like for her to talk about the quirky shepherds. Wonder what it was like for her to look back and remember. And it says, and this is what it says right after the shepherds. It says, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. As Luke and Mary are talking, it seems as though Mary's lighting up in a way that Luke could just feel what a treasure those memories were to Mary. She treasured these memories. She kept them. Yeah, it wasn't ideal. There wasn't enough room for us. We had to go. And Jesus was put in a manger. It was sort of embarrassing. We didn't have a cradle. We didn't have a place where we could put him. And these shepherds showed up and these things happened. And it wasn't like I'd hoped, but man, Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. Mary could have been disappointed and frustrated, but Luke observed that she treasured it. You imagine as she told this story, she probably smiled about some of the funny things. She was probably still frustrated about some of the stupid things Joseph did, you know, and the bad situations that she was in. She probably cried some, laughed. Joseph, her husband, is gone by this time. Jesus, her son, had been murdered. And she looked back on those memories and she treasured them. They were so important to her. I was thinking about what it was like for her as she looked back on that first Christmas and looked back on life and what it was like with her family, talking with Luke. And I remembered the last time that I was in my grandparents' house. My grandma and Grandpa Miller have been gone for several years now. But the last time after my grandpa passed away, we had to go into his house for one last time. And my parents and siblings, they spent a lot of time cleaning things because they lived in the same house for 50-some years, right? Like a long time. They lived in the same house. It was a little 3-bedroom house, and they had 4 kids, small, but they lived in there so many years and cleaning and going through everything. And the last time that I went back there to go through their house, I was told to pick out some items. And I was surprised at how emotional of an experience that was for me, knowing there's no more time in Grandma and Grandpa's house. And I thought back to memories, and a lot of the memories that I remembered were Christmas. And it was an overwhelming time for me to go back there. But man, what a charge, picking out a keepsake, finding some heirlooms to keep with me. And one of the things that I grabbed that I'm going to tell you about this morning is my grandpa's Bible. And he did his devotions out of this Bible. And I learned some things this week just looking through this. I've looked through this a few times, but this week I went through and I was looking through, and he highlighted different scriptures. And sometimes it would make me laugh, some of the stuff, like about not complaining, because Grandpa complained all the time. So like, yeah, you needed that one, Grandpa. But the one that really struck me this time when I was looking through the Bible was there was only one word that was highlighted over and over, both in Old Testaments and New Testaments. And that word that my grandpa kept highlighting was the word love. Over and over in pink highlighter. Love. And so like his Bible was still speaking to me 5 years or so after he passed away. I keep seeing Grandpa highlighted love over and over. How many mornings did he spend with his Bible seeing love, highlighting love, and going over it. And one of the... then I found something I'd never found because it was sort of hidden. And Greg walked in on me this week not long after I had looked at this. But it was kind of hidden in his maps, and it was paper-clipped in. But I found a place where he had written some prayers out. So again, I don't know how long ago he wrote these these prayers, but I found this prayer, and there are some awesome prayers, but this one said this. It said, thank God for my wonderful family. My wife and children are a super blessing to me in your world. May I always love and care for them. You are awesome and wonderful, God. Thank you for caring, LPM. My grandpa's name was Lowell Pearl Miller. Can I still make fun of Pearl as a middle name? But I read that, and it was like, wow, here I am going through this keepsake, and my grandpa's prayer for me and our family and his thankfulness for us were still here with us as a keepsake. And the words from Steve Green's song, Find His Faithful, came to mind. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Mary apparently told Luke, a bunch of stories, because we have a few stories about little Jesus in the book of Luke. We've got when he was just newborn and meets people in the temple. But the one I want to talk about is about the 12-year-old Jesus. And I have a girl who's getting ready to turn 12. So I thought this was cool to think about how this story and how Mary told this story about how Jesus, when he was 12, it's in Luke 2:48. And his mother said to him, this is Mary said to Jesus, son, why have you treated us so? They'd been at the temple in Jerusalem for Passover, celebrating it, as they did every year. And he got lost for 3 days in Jerusalem, and they couldn't find him. So when she finally finds him, this is what she says. Can you imagine what she's thinking as she's looking back on this memory? Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And Jesus said to them, why were you looking for me? Do you think that came back to her 33 years later when he was gone for 3 days in Jerusalem again? Jesus is missing. Why were you looking? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? And this really keys us to that she probably remembered this when he died. And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And Jesus went down with them and had come to Nazareth and was submissive to them. Wow. What kind of, and it says, and his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. That was the summary. She treasured up. What kind of keepsakes do you think Mary kept? Can you imagine if she would have kept maybe some straw from the manger or some wood? Maybe something that a shepherd gave some gift, maybe his staff or something. Can you imagine the keepsakes maybe that she had and the importance they would have had to her? Whether it was straw or wood or shepherd's staff, what kind of, or toilet paper Santa maybe? Maybe Jesus made her one of these one year, I don't know. But what makes those kind of things valuable? What makes straw valuable? What makes these things valuable? What is it? What does it make keepsakes valuable? It's what my grandpa highlighted, right? Love. That's what makes it count. It's love. So the challenge is to be discovering Jesus through treasuring, through loving. Jesus said when he was an adult, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So this Christmas, let's give the gift of treasuring the moment. Let's let presence be the present. Let's be fully present. Let's have present hearts. Let's seek to be present over perfect. Things are going to go wrong this Christmas. Things are going to go frustratingly. But let's seek to be present over having things perfect. And let's treasure what matters and what's going to last. Let's love. As we close today, I want to close as I was thinking about my grandma. And Christmas was a big deal in the Miller house. It was awesome. Have great memories that I treasure. My grandma's favorite song was a song, the Christmas song. It was called Heirlooms. And the words that I just wanted to cover here is this. Thinking about going through their house one final time and my grandma's favorite song coming to me is this. Up in the attic, down on my knees, lifetimes of boxes timeless to me. Letters and photographs yellowed with years, some bringing laughter and some bringing tears. Time never changes the memories, the faces of loved ones who bring to me. All that I come from and all that I live for and all that I'm going to be, my precious family and my precious Jesus is more than an heirloom to me. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you are timeless. You are eternal. You are love that never ends. Our lives on earth are not eternal, but you have put eternity into our hearts. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for loved ones. Thank you for the opportunities to treasure what matters. Help us this Christmas not to be distracted by what is worthless or by illusions of perfection. Help us to treasure what matters most. Fill us with the love of God and use us to be fully present and to give love to the precious people you have put into our lives. Bring us together as a church family too, and help each person have a wonderful sense of belonging. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.